Again, happy Father's Day to all of our men. We began a series a few weeks ago called Back to the Future, and we have been talking about what the future looks like, getting back to our future. There's been so much talk about shutting down, so much talk about just, you know, life being on pause. I was telling our huddle before the service began today, it just feels so weird. One day feels normal, the next day is completely out of sorts. It's hard to get any traction because it's hard to make a schedule. It's hard to make a plan. It's hard to set a vacation. You don't know if they're going to even allow you in a hotel or in a condo or in the Airbnb. Everything is just a little different. But we see things trying to get back to normal, albeit slowly, because setbacks are the new norm. And so I want to talk today to our fathers. I want to talk today to our church. And I'm so grateful for the amazing and the strong men that we have in our house. I want you to know that I'm proud of you and I think the world of you, but we need to talk. We need to talk. We need to have a man-to-man conversation. We're going to allow our ladies to listen in today because they probably already know what we're going to talk about anyway, but I think it is important. And the truth is, our nation needs a man-to-man talk right now. Anybody agree we need the Lord in our nation right now? So much unrest, so many things happening, so much anxiety. You're all saying, I'm saying, I've never seen anything quite like this across the spectrum. Multiple issues swirling and boiling at the same time. We have to talk about it. And I really do not intend to preach this, because the last thing I want to do is preach at you. I want to be a part of the conversation, whether you're watching at home today or if you're in the room. I want to be a part of the conversation. I told you a couple of weeks ago that we were going to have conversations and sit down with multiple people from our church body to talk through and to figure out what is the best way for us to move forward as a church, because I really believe that as the church goes, so the nation goes. I don't know if we really believe that anymore. I don't know if we're confident in that truth anymore, but I'm telling you, it is still the truth. If the church would do what she is supposed to do, if we would be who God has called us to be, it absolutely can change the climate, change the atmosphere, and change the direction of our nation. I truly believe that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16, Paul is writing. He says, I am writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. So he said, you may have 10,000 guardians, but you do not have many fathers. So we have to value the fathers in our lives. We have to honor the fathers in our lives. Paul was not beyond a man-to-man talk. He knew it was needed. He knew it was necessary. I think oftentimes on Father's Day, the dads get a bad rap. Moms are celebrated to the nines on Mother's Day, and you're just amazing. You're the glue. You're everything that we need. But somehow we get to Father's Day, and it's like, yeah, you need to do this, and you need to do that. And that's the last thing that I want to do today. That's not in my heart today, but at the same time, men communicate differently. Men Men, as I said last Sunday, we use far fewer words than our ladies do. We communicate differently, and sometimes that is misunderstood, but Paul was not beyond. He knew it was necessary to have those brass tack conversations and just get down to the root of the matter. The question is, who is doing the talking? Who are we listening to? There are lots of voices right now. There are many, many, many things being said right now, and I'm being very careful who I am listening to and paying very close attention to whose voice I'm allowing, not just into my ears, but into my spirit, which is more important. And Paul says, he says this this phrase, this verse, it really does haunt me. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but it is something that I think about often. He said, "You do not have many fathers. You have 10,000 guardians. You have 10,000 friends. You have 10,000 people in your life, but you do not have many fathers." It made me think about my own growing up years with my brother. He was a guardian in my life. I have an older brother, 7 years older. No chance he'll be watching this live stream today, so I can probably tell what I want to tell, but he wasn't always nice to me. Sometimes he was really mean, but he was supposed to be a guardian in my life. There are things he introduced me to. There are things he allowed me to do. There are things he allowed me to try. There are things that he sanctioned in my coming up years. He was a guardian, but he was not a father, because my father would not have allowed that to happen. I remember a neighbor that lived a couple doors down. He was at least my brother's age, so at least 7 or 8 years older than I was. I do not know why it happened. I do not remember the details surrounding it, but I remember that boy that was 7 or 8 years older than I was, and I was probably 11 or 12 years old, maybe 10 years old, and here he was, a 17 or 18 year old grown young man, but he was whipping me in his front yard. He was literally whipping me, and my brother was standing by watching and laughing. My mother is watching today, and poor thing has lost her memory when it comes to raising kids, but this actually happened, mother. My brother stood by laughing at what was happening, this grown boy whipping me. And when I got into the house and was bruised up and was welted up and was red marked and had fingerprints on my body, when my mother saw what was happening, she didn't even need the details. She started whipping my brother because he allowed me to get whipped by the older boy. "That's why I love you, Mom. And that's why I know I'm your favorite." It was an affront. It was a problem. This is not supposed to happen, because you're supposed to be a guardian. That's why Paul said it's not enough to have 10,000 guardians. You've got to have a father in your life. You've got to have a voice in your life. And I realize that in 2020, that is a messy topic. And I realize that not everyone had a wonderful experience when it comes to fatherhood. I understand that. I've lived that, believe it or not. And so that's not always an easy conversation. But he said, you can have a father a figure in your life, a male voice in your life. And that's why this haunts me to a degree, because I do not presume myself a spiritual father. Perhaps it's my own search for perfection that I struggle with, but I do not consider myself. I feel like I'm still working at all of that and striving for all of that. But hear me, if, capital IF, if I have a voice in your life, and I hope we can talk because I want to speak to future fathers today. Future fathers. Not just men who will become fathers, but you, Dad, you, Father, you in the future, you tomorrow, you 3 hours from now, you 24 hours from now. Who are you going to be? And what are you going to do about it? I'm going to tell you three things today that I think fathers in the future need to be. If you're taking notes, you can write these down or you can type them into your phone somewhere where you can ruminate on them later. You can consider them, wrestle with them, talk about them, argue with them, or discuss them with us later. But I think this conversation could possibly help us. But hear me, fathers in our future, number one, are furious. Are furious. You didn't think that was coming, did you? You didn't think I was going to give you permission to be mad about something, but I'm going to give you permission to be mad today, to be furious, in fact. Furious is yet another level of mad. It's a more descriptive adjective, if you will. I want to give you permission to be furious, but to be furious about the right things and the right causes. We've got a lot of men that are angry today. We've got a lot of men that are furious today, but I'm not sure that we are furious toward the right things or that we are angry about the right things. We need to be furious. We need to be passionate. We need to be upset. We need to be bothered about things that are happening. Men, future fathers, I believe they are furious and they are tired of injustice. I believe that future fathers are tired of the inequality. I believe they are furious with the way things are being handled or the way things are being done to other men and people whom they love. I believe that future fathers are furious about the lack of respect in our community. I believe they are furious about the failing work ethic that literally goes against everything man at its core. Men need to be furious because while we're all wondering who is going to answer this and wondering who is going to speak change and who is going to help, who is going to resolve and who is going to speak to these issues, John 10 and 10 is an important verse. The Bible said the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Because while we are furious, I'm not sure that we are focused on the right enemy. I'm not sure that we are furious at the right person or the right individual, because it is becoming easier and easier to aim our aggression as a society at others instead of at the real enemy. Hear me today, because this doesn't excuse anyone's bad behavior. We only have so many cheeks to turn. One, two, three. I'm out of cheeks. I got no more cheeks to turn. I'm not saying we have to excuse bad behavior or put up with things that are not right, but I think anyone would agree with me today that emotions are out of control. People are more angry than they've ever been. I'm not saying the anger is not justified. I'm not saying that the fury is not warranted. In so many cases, it absolutely is. But who is the enemy? Who is the one that we should be mad at? We've aimed at the wrong enemy. Now it's brother on brother. It's race on race. It's everyone against the police. Let me give you a verse that may shake you to your core. Ephesians 4:26 says, in your anger, do not sin. So he said, you've got permission to be angry. You've got permission to be furious. You have permission to be upset with the things that are happening. You just can't sin while being angry. Man, that really limits my options, doesn't it? Because it seems like the more angry I get, the more I want to sin. The more furious I get, the more I want to do something wrong, the more I want to hurt someone, the more I want to do to them what they've done to me. And that's where the church has to be the church and change the temperature and change the atmosphere and reset the table so that we do not respond like everyone in the world responds, so that we don't do what everyone else who does not know Christ does. We have to be angry. We have to be furious. We have permission to be angry about the things that are happening in our world, but we have to turn that fury into change. We have to turn that anger into a difference being made in our community. God, my prayer today is that you would help us unite rather than divide. That you would help us come together rather than divide further apart. And I want to help everybody understand something. That unity does not mean that everyone agrees with what unity looks like to you. Because that's really what's happening. We're talking past one another. Well, everything will be fine if you'll just do it the way I want you to do it. Everything will be great if you'll just respond the way I think you should respond. And someone else is saying, no, I've tried that and that hasn't worked. So I'm talking louder, I'm doing more, I'm saying it in a different way, or I'm expressing in a different way, and I'm not going to come into alignment. That's fine. Everyone can express. We just have to be obedient to this verse. In your anger, do not sin. So we pray that God would unite us and that we would not divide ourselves. Men, fathers in our future are furious. Let me tell you something else that fathers in our future are. They are fighters. They are furious and they are fighters. For men, you see the natural progression from anger is to fight. When a man's temperature starts rising, he begins looking to see where his exits are. He starts looking to see what weapons are handy. I've already thought about it today. It's male instinct. If someone were to come out of this congregation to attack me, I've got a microphone stand right there. I will hit you with it. Oh, you wouldn't pray for me? No, I'd pray later. That's the way a man thinks. That's why, ladies, when you go into the restaurant, he's trying to find the seat that puts his back to the wall and gives him visual of the door and the exit. He's not weird. He's not controlling. He is a man. And he's surveying the room. Because at any moment, Clark Kent may have to become Superman and save everybody in the restaurant. And he believes he can do it with one hand tied behind his back. Stop making fun of that. That's who he is. He believes that he is strong enough to protect everybody in his sphere of influence. Men, when they feel slighted, they start looking and planning to survive. We're talking about physical threats, but let me tell you, the same thing is true for emotional threats as well. I wish we just had men in the room where I could just talk to you real plain, but men struggle and suffer emotionally. They start, it's the same course of action. When they get furious, they become fighters. The fury brings the fight. But let me ask you a question. Who are we fighting? This is important today. Who are we fighting? And I get it. Some of you, you're not going to buy into this message because you're not fully sure where I'm going. And I encourage you to go back and watch the replay or listen to the podcast and just sit with it for a while. And then if we need to talk, we'll get together and talk. But I want you to sit in this for just a little while today, because this is who our future fathers need to be. We need to be furious, but we also need to be fighters. But we got to make sure that we're fighting the right cause and against the right enemy. Ephesians 6 and 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I'm going to read it again. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Insert flesh and blood with whatever name, whatever skin color, whatever person living behind you. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So he's saying our fight is spiritual, but I'm going to ask you a real and raw question. I'm going to ask myself the same question. If the fight is spiritual, why do I have so much blood on my hands? Why do we as a nation have so much blood on our hands? Why do we as a society have so much blood on our hands? The reality is that most men, we're fighting the wrong people. And sadly, it's usually those whom we love the most. Selah. Just let that rest for just a moment. It's usually the ones that we love the most that we fight the most. I can't explain that to you because I struggle with it. I don't fully understand that, because I'm still trying to sort it out in my own mind and in my own life. But what if we could just cast it out there, men? What if we could just set it as a goal? What if we could just say, hey, me in the future, father in the future, dad in the future, husband in the future, man in the future, this is what I am striving for. This is what I am reaching for. What if we make sure we're not fighting against anyone? Rather, let's fight for what is right. Let's fight for what matters. Further, let's make sure we're fighting the right way for the right things. You say, well, there's no such thing as a fair fight. I think we've probably abused that, men. We've probably taken advantage of that. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captivity every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Verse 6, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. There's so much in this. Lord, have mercy. Weapons we fight with, they're not weapons of the world. We don't use the same tactics, the same arguments, the same attitudes, the same anger, the same response. We don't use the same thinking of the world. Let me ask you a question, church, not just men, but everyone in this room, everyone watching. When did the church become so worldly in the way we think and the way we operate and the way we function? God is not pleased with that. God is not happy with that. I believe there is strong correction coming. If we're not in the middle of it right now, there is strong correction coming to the church, the capital C church, the global church, the 400,000 churches in America. The correction is coming because we are fighting with weapons that are of the world. When he said this is a spiritual fight. And yes, I will blame the media for much of the unrest in our communities right now. I don't know why, but chaos is big business. Chaos is big business. And they just get us so churned up and turned up and just so angry and so furious. And it's amazing. You would think by every person they show us on TV that every man is just angry and ready to fight or attack. And man, that's not the people I encounter on a daily basis. It's not the people I encounter. It's not the people I meet on a daily basis. Why is it that they want us to hate one another and to fight with one another? And so I blame the media, and you and I need to be careful. I'm not telling you who to watch. Watch it all, but watch it with a filter. Be careful on your social media, sharing stuff that's just not true. Y'all keep posting that if you'll copy and paste something that magically stuff is going to happen. It's not going to happen. Didn't happen the last time you posted. It's not going to happen. He said the right weapons have power to demolish strongholds and silence arguments and every claim against God. And he said, we have to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Every thought. Is anybody beside me, have you ever had some crazy thoughts? I'm not talking about 10 years ago. I'm talking about this morning. You've had crazy thoughts. I've had crazy thoughts this morning. You have the thought, and you make it obedient. No, I'm not thinking that. I'm not going down that road. I'm not going to allow myself to believe that. I'm not going to allow myself to even think that. I'm making my thought obedient to Christ. Man, this old doctrine preaching, it's not nearly as fun as spin around three times and get blessed bigger than you ever have before. But I guarantee you, if you'll hold on, this will build your life. Because our thoughts are out of control. Our emotions are out of control. And if we make every thought obedient to Christ, what happens? Our mind becomes renewed and we are transformed. And we're no longer our old self, but we are that new creature in Christ that he promised us we could be. Is anybody ready to fight the right fight for the right reason? They have something called the Fight Club. I can't really talk about it because the first rule of the Fight Club is never talk about the Fight Club. So I'm running great risk today because men have rules. Men require strict loyalty. That's why if you leave us, we're forever affected by that. It messes with our psyche because men demand loyalty. And I know you're saying, wait a minute, I could argue with you. I understand because you met a flawed man. You met a messed up man. But man at his base, man in his nature, he requires this loyalty that says, don't leave me to fight alone. Don't leave me to fight alone. We were just kids running the drag in Odessa, Texas. My friend had an IROC Z, a red IROC Z. It was the sports car of the day. Everybody wanted it. And his parents had a lot of money. And he drove this fancy sports car, and it got him in a lot of trouble. And one day, I don't know exactly, spun out, did a donut around somebody, made somebody mad, and they chased us and chased us. And I said, man, you need to get out of this. There's way more of them, many more of them than there are of us. No, no, we're going to be fine. And finally, we were cornered somewhere in an alley. Poor Jude, he had no idea his father was so street, but it's true. But, you know, what were we going to do? It's on. This is going to be a problem. And all of a sudden, both of us out of the car, and this guy starts walking the other direction. I said, let me tell you something. When they get finished whipping me, I'm coming to whip you. Don't matter how bloody or bruised I am going to whip you. Why are you going to whip me? Because you're leaving me in the middle of a fight. Men don't want to be left. We got to be loyal to one another. But listen to me, man. It's still not good for you to be alone. It's not good. Not good for man to be on his own. Hear me, hear me. Hear me, white men. Yes, I said it, white men. It's important for our black brothers to know that we're fighting with them and not against them. The last thing that you or I need to say is, well, that's their problem. Or that's their issue. I didn't do that. I didn't cause that. I'm not like that. No, they need to hear us say it, that we stand with them. I want every black brother in this room and every one of my black brothers watching by live stream today, I stand with you. I've marched with you. I stand with you. I've called it out more times than I can count. I stand with you. I hear you. I know. And even though I've never walked in your shoes or felt what you have felt, I hear you. And I will fight for you in this community. They need to know we're fighting with them. But black men, let me say this to you. We need your grace. We're still learning. We're not going to say everything perfectly. I've watched it happen on social media. You need to say something. You need to come to our defense. And someone says something. You didn't say it the right way. So what do people do? They go silent because they're scared. They're in trouble if they do. They're in trouble if they don't. So please give us grace while we learn. And let's walk together and grow together and learn together. Galatians 6 and 2 is a powerful verse of scripture in this season. It said, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Man, I was moving a couple of weeks ago, and Jason West, where are you, Jason? I saw you earlier. Man, I owe him a good dinner. It ain't gonna be taco smell. It's gonna be good food. And I honestly believed I just had a couple of heavy pieces. Well, I did believe it, so it wasn't a lie. But at some point, Jason was just laid out in the master bedroom praying the Lord would just come take him. It was done. It was over. Tell my boys I loved them. Tell Noel, thanks for the memories, but I'm done. I'm dying. It's over. We had carried washers and dryers upstairs, and we just both realized we were woefully out of shape and way too old. He was bearing my burden. My friend needs help moving. I'm available. Come on, let's go get this done. That's just in a move. That's just in house. That's just washers and dryers. But what does it say emotionally when we stand next to one another? And we say, my friend, you are hurting. You're going through a tough time right now. How can I help you? If I can't solve it, can I just sit with you? Can I just stand next to you? Can I just be in the same room with you? Can I just share a cup of coffee with you? Can I just sit down with you because I want to help bear your burden. Hear me, that's what makes the Church Covington great, is the fact that we will fellowship with one another and sit with one another and small group with one another and hang in the lobby with one another and work in missions gardens with one another and serve the church with one another. It doesn't matter what race, what color, we work together and serve together and we bear one another's burdens. And when we do, Paul said, we fulfill the law of Christ. Men are fighters. But we have to purpose to fight the right enemy about the right things. You've heard it said, I'm a lover, not a fighter. How many lovers we got in the room? How many fighters we got in the room? How many are wondering why you can't be both? Why do I have to choose? 1 Corinthians 13 is powerful. He tells us about love. He said, if we speak well, if we have plenty of talent, if we build great businesses, but we have no love, if we have no real love for others, then we have nothing. Nothing. Nothing is a big word because he goes through a long list of things that you and I would read any one of those and say, man, that's success, that's winning, that's 100, that's good, that's right, that's, I take that. And he said, but look, if you have all of that, but you have no love for people, then you have nothing. But here's what that kind of love does. 1 Corinthians 13 and 7, it always protects. It always trusts. Always hopes, always perseveres. When you have that kind of love, it always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. And every single one of us are probably struggling to get to that kind of love. Let me tell you one more. Fathers, in our future, not only are they furious, not only are they fighters, but fathers in our future are faithful. Not only do we need men to be faithful themselves, for themselves, because healthy men produce healthy families. Healthy men produce healthy families. If you're on the airplane, if there is a drop in oxygen, secure the mask on yourself first and then secure it on the person beside you. If you are not healthy, no one else around you can be healthy. If you are not in a place of peace, no one else around you can be in a place of peace. So future fathers have to lead the way spiritually. I liken this to the thermostat in the house. Every man in the room, I see you nodding because you understand. We just moved into a home and we have two thermostats. We have two systems, upstairs and downstairs. And so I find myself just standing and staring at this thermostat. I'm going to conquer you. I'm going to find a way to be as cool as I want to be for the least amount of money possible. So how does this work? Study the thermostat. Read the book. Google. Trying to figure it out. My family already has heard me ask in the last 2 weeks, who turned this down? Who did this? What? Who, it went down 1 degree. Who turned it down? I'm gonna develop a sign-in sheet right there that anybody that touches it has to sign in date and time so we can keep up. Men, guard the thermostat. They're watching the bill. They're watching the temperature. Listen to me, men. We need to be responsible for setting the spiritual temperature in our homes. I challenge you, men. I'm not shaming you, but I challenge you. Do not make the woman in your life, be it your mama, be it your wife, be it your child, do not let the woman in your life have to talk you into coming to church every week. You coming? What about today? Men, set the thermostat in your house. As for me and my house, this is the temperature we're going to live at. This is who we're going to be. The church Covington needs more men checking spiritual thermostats in their houses and in this house. Men with their eye on what's happening spiritually. Where are we? How can we be better? How can we grow? How can we be who God has called us to be? How can we be faithful in this hour? Ephesians 2 and 10. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. So you were created, I was created to join him, to assist him in the work that he does. Stop thinking that you were created just to work your job, just to mow your grass, tinker with your car. No, he created you to assist him with the work that he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do. Work we had better be doing. He said, I need to be doing this work. If I want my life to count, I need to be doing what he's prepared for me to do. But men, fathers watching online, can I give you one more reason today as I close? One more reason to be furious. One more reason to fight. Reason to be faithful. Because I've learned, if men have a purpose, if men have a cause, if they know it means something. Well, it does. Mark chapter 15 and verse 21. A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, that's northern Africa, eastern Libya. A man named Simon was coming in from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. In parentheses, I normally wouldn't read what's in the parentheses. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Mark is the only one of the gospel writers that includes this. I don't know what stuck out to him about it. I don't know what moved him about it. But Simon, this family that's from northern Africa, Simon from Cyrene, the first man to experience Jesus' blood. Yeah, the blood that's dripping from the crown of thorns that's been placed on his head. The blood from the 39 stripes on his back. The first man to come in contact with the blood of Jesus was a black man. Simon. He was forced to carry Jesus' cross, compelled. I'm not sure what that looked like or even felt like on that day, but look into the future, Simon. Look ahead, Dad. See just a few years from now. Because Simon, Mark said, was the father of Alexander and Rufus. And amazingly, a man who was forced to carry the cross of Jesus. For years, and in subsequent books of the Bible, we see both of these young men in the church. History declares that they became missionaries, building churches. Why? Because they saw their father that simple. The details are probably more challenging. Living it out, walking it out, the daily, the grind, the process. It's hard for anybody. If I will get furious, if I'll get passionate about the right things, if I'll fight for the right cause, and if I'll be faithful, I'm going to see my kids, my family, my Alexander, my Rufus, serving God's church. What about you, sir? What about you, man? Father, I pray today for men in this room. Some are fathers, many not yet. But all have the man spirit, male factor, bravado, strength, the decisiveness, the temper, the fist, the heart. I pray, Lord, that somehow you could help us point our aggression, our fury, our anger toward the right cause. That when we put our dukes up, that when we survey the room, that when we assess the enemy, that we've thought clearly and we know that we're fighting the right enemy. The enemy is not the flesh and blood beside me. It's not my friend. It's not a stranger on the street. My enemy is the devil that wants to divide people, cause us to despise, dislike, and refuse to appreciate one another for who we are. Not a perfect man in this room, not a perfect man watching online, flawed, broken, hurting. Got a bucket of regrets and a pocket full of shame. But here we stand today, honest, raw, and real. Furious fighters. You may be watching today online. You may be in this room today. You may feel a call, a drawing, a wooing in your heart. Say yes to Jesus. I feel God so strong in this moment. I want you to feel this watching online, sir. I need you to feel this in this room, because it's amazing what God could do in the next few weeks. the next few months, before the end of this chaotic, crazy year. It's amazing what God could do with future fathers. Father, I pray for those needing to say yes today. Maybe I'm carrying sin. Maybe I'm carrying that shame and I have that regret. Can't do anything about what happened, what was, but today I can start fresh. I can't really solve the father I have been, but I can do something about the future. So today, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to heal me. I ask you today to deliver me from wrong thinking. Set me free, God. Let us be the fathers, the men that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Anybody receive that today? Anybody receive that? Men watching, you receive that today? Give me a thumbs up. Give me a heart. Send a like up the screen today. Thank you, Jesus.